Mental illness is epidemic in America, and the problem is spreading worldwide. It's time for decisive action, because the battle for the mind is part of a much larger war being waged between good and evil, with you as the prize. Welcome to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings. For the next hour, we'll uncover Bible-based weapons for fighting destructive feelings and resolving inner conflicts. Dr. Jennings wants to arm you with the tools necessary for achieving emotional and mental stability as you strengthen your relationship with God. We'll open the phone lines for your questions in just a moment. I'm your Simple Solutions host, Charles Mills. And welcome to the program. So glad you have tuned in. I love the story of the fruit stand owner who spied a young boy standing by his neatly arranged apple display. Hurrying over to the child, the man called, "Hey you, are you trying to steal one of my apples?" The boy slowly shook his head from side to side. "No, sir," he answered. "I'm trying very hard not to steal one of your apples." I believe that point of that story is that temptation doesn't go away simply because we're aware of right and wrong. What makes the difference? What motivates us to remain on the right side of that line is upbringing, what we've learned from others, and what we've been taught by people we trust. Today we talk about how to instill in our offspring the type of fortitude that allows them to live in a world filled with temptation, yet remain committed to what is right. And this is accomplished by infusing them with a sense of rightness, and that can only be found within the pages of God's Word. Our guest today is Kay Kuzma, Christian author, child development specialist, and educator. Dr. Kuzma, when should we start that faith training in our children so that they'll spend their lives trying not to steal other people's apples?
Well, it starts immediately. Actually, prenatally, in terms of good health, good mental attitude of the mom, gives that kid a really, really good start when he's born in terms of not having any dysfunctions in his life, being born into a family that is wholesome, that has values that are important, that has a faith belief. All of this starts very, very early. The love a child feels is the basis of his moral character.
Now, to make the connection for us between health and attitude, you're saying if the mother is in good health and is doing good things for the baby. In other words, that child can be born wounded as far as attitude is concerned if the mother smokes or drinks or does bad things to her body?
It certainly can happen because there is that connection, the hormonal connection, the chemical connection. So basically what happens to the mother goes through to the baby, especially if there is abuse and there is depression, and the mother is wanting to reject the child. All of that, we are finding more and more, does have a impact on the baby, even though unconsciously the baby will never be able to get in touch with that's where feelings of unhappiness come, feelings of depression, feelings of worthlessness. It can all stem from that early experience in the womb.
Wow. So if that child is not loved and not wanted in the womb, after it is born and going through life, it's going to find it has those feelings of unlovedness and unwantedness in its own life and not even know where it came from. That's incredible.
In fact, we sometimes even see babies that are born that turn away from a mother. Now, it's very, very rare, but they just feel that rejection and they just turn away. And there's a failure to thrive in some of these babies. So, but that doesn't mean that it can't be reversed. And that is the good news. With God, anything is possible. And but it just, for the rest, you know, for us having babies, we need to think, wow, I've got to really make sure that my environment is the best spiritual environment possibly that I can possibly give my baby, even prenatally.
Wow. Okay, well, we have come across the first guideline here for a healthy baby, a healthy attitude, a healthy mental attitude for that child and that adult to be. That is to have that positive attitude when it's still in the womb. You know, the text says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. We always think that's for us, but it also is for the baby we're carrying. That is incredible that we make that connection. We're talking with Dr. Kay Kuzma here about growing with Jesus, building your child's faith, and it begins right there at the very, very beginning. So moms, if you're carrying that child inside, now's the time to love that child. Now's the time. And most women do, I'm sure. But there are some are saying, I'm not sure. Well, no, now's the time to do it. Love that child. Love yourself and love that child. Okay, that baby is born. It comes out, and let's say that that mother did not want the child, Kay. Let's say that that mother was very antagonistic toward it and just, you know, get rid of it, get out of here. And that child's adopted by someone, okay? The adoptive parents are going to receive a child that is wounded mentally when they get them. What can that adoptive parent do immediately to try to reverse that situation?
Well, certainly bonding is extremely important. So, and we know that most adopted babies, regardless of what they go through, if they're adopted and feel loved in the first 6 months, they generally grow up just as healthy as kids who are born into the family. So that should not stop anyone from adopting. It just means that the baby has a history. And
yes.
We all have to work with the history of sin in our families because our genes are who our mothers and dads were, you know, basically. And some of these traits toward certain things like alcoholism and depression, et cetera, some of these traits are born into us just because of who our ancestors were.
Well, that's so important for us to know at this point, then, that the health of that child is in our hands, even as it is developing.
And
now,
it's the close time that you spend, the intensity of the time and the touch, the skin-to-skin holding, that is what is the strong bonding material between a baby and his parents. So if you adopt at a year, you need to spend that time, at that time, bonding. Or if it's 6 years of age, spend that time bonding. Because bonding will happen if you take the time, but it is, of course, the easiest, the earliest.
Yeah. Now, let's say that that child comes into the house and he's 11 or 12. How do you touch a child without making that child feel uncomfortable? You know, young men and women don't like to be hugged in public. They don't want their parents just, you know, slobbering all over them. How do you make that touch without it having a problem for the kid?
Well, I think you need to be comfortable yourself in spontaneous expressions of affection. So that when they win a ball game, it just comes natural to throw your arms around them and, you know, dance with them, you know. it just, you want it to be a natural kind of thing rather than, and, you know, when you leave to go someplace and you're going to be gone for a week or something, you know, just give them a hug, you know. And the other thing that we're finding out is, especially with children that are preschoolers, that even though they are asleep, if you go in and just lay down with them, there is something that happens, the bonding.
Wow, that is amazing. That is, while they're sleeping, that's incredible. We'll take a short break and be back with Dr. Kay Kuzma. Our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. 800-775-4673. 800-775-4673. Stay tuned.
Here's Dr. James Markham with your daily heartbeat.
In this world,
there are many pollutants out there. Some of you might be driving and smell all the fumes out there. You might live in polluted cities, and there might be all sorts of things that you're breathing that God didn't want us to have. One of the best biblical treatments we have is getting good oxygen. Now, one of the things I advise my patients do is practice taking deep breaths. Take a deep breath, friend, and hold it for a few seconds and blow it out. Do that 10 times and you'll start to feel the oxygen level go up in your body. The body is very dependent on oxygen. And as we do this, we can get oxygen to the tissues. We think better. We feel better. We can help counteract some of these bad pollutants out there. So try to do some deep breathing exercises today.
If you'd like more information, go to heartwiseministries.org. That's heartwiseministries.org.
Can you put a price tag on confidence? Hello, this is Jeremy Woodruff, and my oldest daughter, Elizabeth, had a little bit of a struggle learning to ride a bicycle. She had a hand-me-down bike with a mismatched set of training wheels that would come loose, making for quite an unsteady ride. I knew she was close to not needing the training wheels at all, but she just couldn't seem to proceed without them until she could ride confidently with them. So I made a $12 investment in some new training wheels, and it wasn't but a matter of days before they weren't even needed anymore. And you know, seeing Ellie take off with a smile on her face was worth far more than $12. I'm reminded of a heavenly father who was willing to make the ultimate investment to see his children thrive. To learn more about this God of love, call this toll-free number, 800-775-4673, and ask for the free Discover Bible Study lessons. Give your spiritual self-confidence a big boost. Call 800-775-HOPE and ask for Discover.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Kay Kuzma. She is a Christian author, child development specialist, and educator. And we're talking about those important first 7 years of a child's life in developing a character that is Christ-like in that child. So very important, so that when they go through life, that at least they have a foundation that they can turn to when they're facing all the temptations of life. Dr. Kuzma, you mentioned how important touch is. You mentioned that even if you're with a preschooler, if the child's sleeping and you go lay down beside them, there's even your presence somehow gets through to them, and kids and babies need to be hugged. I wanted to spend just a moment more with kids who are a little bit older. Let's say they're 12, 13, 14, 16 years old. How can a parent touch, and we love touching kids, touching things we love, how can a parent touch a child in public without embarrassing the kid?
Well, certainly you have to know your child and what stage he's going through, and respect him for his rights, because his body is private, and so he you know, that is okay. But there are spontaneous behaviors, like throwing your arm around them to give them a hug when you're excited about something or something fun has happened, the high fives, the slapping each other's knees, like, oh, I can't believe that happened, you know, and good foot rub. Every kid loves a good foot rub or a back rub. Those kinds of things that are a natural thing rather than a put on and a forced. You want your touch to be spontaneous.
Well, that is good. And I'm glad you said know your child, because there are some of us, and I put myself in that group, who didn't mind mom and dad hugging me when I was a teenager.
Yeah.
I loved it. I didn't mind that at all. So know your kid. All right, fantastic. But just don't stop. Don't stop if you're not sure. There are things you can do. Just make sure that contact, that physical contact, continues with your child throughout its life. I can tell you right now, I'm 59 years old. My dad is 93. And when I see him, I want him to give me a big hug. I don't mind that at all. I don't care who's watching. I want that man to touch me. Okay, now go ahead.
Let's just add one more thing to that. Because as we're talking about giving your children the strength of character to say no to peer pressure and to say no to temptation, one of the biggest things we can do is maintain a good relationship with our children through those years. That seems to give them a strength no, I won't do it because that would, you know, that would hurt my mom, and I don't want to hurt my mom, you know, because they have that good relationship with mom. So that is extremely important to remember. Keep that good relationship. And so don't sweat over the little things like the purple hair that they might come home with one day or the, you know, the other crazy things that kids might do, you know. Don't sweat the little things. Go for the big relationship, and they will honor you and be stronger because of you.
When you're dealing with young people, kids, let's say they're just beginning their teens or their teens, as long as we're up here, let's stay with this age for just a little bit longer. How does a parent know when to say when? How does a parent know when to lay down the law? You want the child to have his independence or her independence. You want that child to learn by experience, yet you don't want that child hurt in any way, yet the learning process may be a hurting process. How do you walk that line, Dr. Kuzma?
Well, I have an acronym that I use when I teach parents how to, you know, begin to cut the apron strings, how to begin to allow your children to make more and more decisions. And the acronym is C, S-E-A, and it stands for Seek Information. When the child is able to seek the information they need to make a good decision, that's the S. But it cannot stand alone. It has to go with the E, evaluate the alternatives. If they are so biased that they won't even look at an alternative because they want to do what they want to do, they shouldn't be making a decision. But if they will look at the alternatives, evaluate those, that's important for the E. Then the A is accept the consequences. So that's the third important thing in this decision making, whether you should allow your children to make their own decisions. If the consequence, and you look at all the possible consequences, if it's not deadly, if it won't hurt them spiritually or physically, but they could learn from it, allow them to accept whatever consequence might come. And it might be a good consequence because it would be a good decision, but it might be a bad consequence. But if you step in and shield them from the consequences, then that it will not be a good learning experience. So that's the way you can determine whether your child is old enough, mature enough, thought processes are there enough so that he can make a good decision.
Well, that is exactly what God does to us. I was writing this down, and I realized that God walks us through that. We seek information. You know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for education and for correction and whatnot. Evaluate the alternatives. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. God gives us the choice. And then accept the consequences. God very clearly outlines in the Bible the consequences of going his way or going the alternate way, very clearly. This is very biblical, what you're saying.
Wow, and that's interesting that you put it together like that because I actually have not done it. Boy, I think about my next seminar, I'll be quoting you here.
Oh, very good. Very good. Well, the biblical model is exactly what you've been saying. That is wonderful. We're talking with Dr. Kay Kuzma. She is a Christian author, child development specialist, and educator. And the author, her latest book is called The First 7 Years. And I've interviewed her on that book in the past, and it is an amazing book. I sent it on down to my wife's niece, and she had just had a child, and she says that is the book that's her go-to book as that child is growing up. And that's a wonderful testimony, Dr. Kuzma. If someone wanted a copy of that book, where would they go to purchase that book?
Well, they certainly can go just to Amazon if they want to. They can actually just Google the name of the book, and it will come up probably from Adventist Book Centers. They can get it from Pacific Press, Publishing Association. I think it's pacificpress.com.
Right.
And they can get it from the Three Angels Broadcasting Network, 3ABN.org.
Okay. Lots of sources there. The book is called The First 7 Years. Okay. All right. Now, let's go back to that kid. He has come from the womb. We took pretty good care of him, and he is there, and we are touching that child and hugging that child, and there's lots of contact. And then that child reaches what's called the terrible twos, and any parent knows exactly what I'm talking about. Because they learn a word in their terrible twos that means a lot to them, and that word is no. Come over here. No. Do this. No. How do you de-no a two-year-old?
Well, actually, you know, this is a really exciting developmental stage in children because God made us to make decisions. He gave us choices. And when we begin to see a child say no, it means that they're developing their power of making choices. We just don't want them to make choices that are bad for themselves. We want them to make choices to obey mommy and daddy and to do the things that they should. So it can get in the way of a good parent-child relationship, but it can also be a very exciting stage. This is what I suggest. Because children are made, created to make choices. Allow them to make choices even in a no-choice situation. Let me just give you an example, and this is one that I use over and over again. If a child does not want to take a bath and you say, it's time to take a bath, and he says no, just ignore that and immediately give him a choice. Would you like bubbles in your bathtub or boats? Boats or bubbles? And chances are, in the excitement of being able to make this incredible choice of boats or bubbles, he will walk to the bath and take his bath. And so we need to remember the importance of choices, even small choices in an area where he cannot make a choice is satisfying to the child.
Huh. Because I guess they're starting to feel grown up when they can start making choices. They've been told what to do. Suddenly, you know, hey, I can have bubbles or I can have boats. Now, if it was me, I'd say both. Let's go. But I'm sure that this is a fantastic idea. So if you say, okay, it's time to go to school, well, no, I don't want to go to school or preschool. What would be the choice there? Do you want to go in the station wagon or in the Volvo? What do you say at that point?
Well, if you have the choice of two cars, or you know, you can play with the little toy car in the car, or we can put on a story to listen to. You know, so think of something that's easy to do that you don't care which if it goes one way or the other, but still giving the child a choice. It's a great way to break the impasse when you're saying, you know, get in your seatbelt. You have to get in your seatbelt. I'm going to need to push you in your seatbelt. You know, just immediately break it and say, oh, what would you like to hold right now? Would you like to hold the dolly or the teddy bear? You know, and just let them have a choice in the no-choice situation.
Well, that is extremely valuable right there. We're learning good stuff on this program today with Dr. Kay Kuzma. By the way, our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. If you have a child and you're going, I don't know what to do with this child, here's your chance to talk to a child development specialist and educator about that, the author of the book, The First 7 Years. And we'd like to hear from you. Here's the phone number, 800-775-4673. That's 800-775-4673. Give us a call and ask your question to Dr. Kuzma, and you will get really good answers. I know every time I ask her a question, I am surprised and amazed and inspired by what she says. 800-775-4673. We'll be right back with Dr. Kay Kuzma, so don't go away.
Now hear about Muslims who dance and sing in their quest to experience God. On this Global Minute, we invite you to pray for Sufi Muslims. You may know there are Sunni and Shiite Muslims. Those are the main orders in Islam. But Sufism is a mystical experience, and these Muslims believe God and the universe is one. Organized around brotherhoods, Sufi Muslims revere local Islamic leaders or people they consider saints. Now, in an effort to know God deeply, they recite prayers, which may also lead to dancing and singing until they reach a state of ecstasy. The Malawis are one group who make dance a part of their rituals, and they're known as whirling dervishes. Some Sufis have little to no contact with Christians, while others live in countries of Africa where they would more likely come in contact with followers of Christ. Pray Sufi Muslims will discover the deep love of Jesus Christ. Learn about Islamic beliefs and how to approach Muslims with the gospel at missionvisionnetwork.org.
I was 8 years old when I realized what it was that I had to do. I was walking down the street and I saw so many homeless men and women. I knew I had to find a way to help. 2 years later, I started a nonprofit group to feed the homeless. Hi, my name is Amber Kaufman, and today I'm 20 years old. For the past 10 years, the organization I created, Happy Helpers for the Homeless, has delivered love, food, and clothing directly to men and women living on the streets. We've also helped other young people discover the joy in serving others. You know there's something you need to do in your community, but maybe you thought, what can I do? I'm just one person. You'll be amazed at what a difference you can make if you just put your mind to it. Decide today to make that difference. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." Do you long for that peace in your life? Let's return to Simple Solutions with Christian psychiatrist and author Dr. Timothy Jennings.
And welcome back to the program. I'm your host, Charles Mills. Dr. Jennings is traveling today, and he has sent a wonderful guest that I've talked to on this program before, as well as other programs that I produce. Kay Kuzma is an author of the latest book, The First 7 Years. She's a child development specialist and educator. And today we're talking about building your child's faith. Now, Dr. Kuzma, before the break, we mentioned giving choices to little kids so that they will feel more responsibility for what they're doing and more in tune to themselves and when they obey us. How about older kids? You know, you can't. The older kids will see right through this. You know, take a bath. You want bubbles or boats? They're going to see right through this. You know, hey, wait a minute. But older kids, how do you allow them to make choices that teach them something, keep them safe, and allow them to become the people they need to become?
Well, I like to tell parents they need to have the motto for their family, freedom for responsibility. So if the child is being responsible, making good moral decisions, getting up, getting dressed, getting to school on time, as well as making choices in terms of what they should or should not do, then they're given more freedom. They can make more of their own choices. And, you see, we want to basically grow out of the job of parenting. And if our kids are making good choices, they need to be rewarded by giving them more freedom. And if they mess up, then that freedom is taken away, and you may need to have more rules for them, guidelines for them to follow. So this really is important in terms of their spirituality, because the way they feel about their parents, if they feel that their parents are controlling them and making all the choices, then most kids will rebel at some time. And because children very early, before concepts, that's the first 2 or 3, 4 years, they see God through the behavior of their parents, through their parents. And if they rebel toward their parents, even in the teenage years, it's very often that they will just throw out God also. They will rebel against God. So, our relationship is incredibly important, and giving them freedom for responsibility is a great way to teach them to be more responsible.
Now, is this something you discuss with them? Do you say to them outright, look, I want to give you more responsibility, but I want to give you more freedom so that you can do what you want to do, but I want to make sure that you're responsible. Aren't we getting the cart before the horse? The kid's going to say, you know, I need the freedom before I can show you I'm responsible.
Well, that is true. You know, many times we decide not to give our children freedom because of their behavior in the past. So it's always a leap of faith for a parent to offer freedom to a child, but he needs to know exactly what is expected. The first time I think I really realized I was doing this to one of my kids, Kevin wanted to make his own choice about bedtime. And I said, well, Kevin, you stay up half the night. I'm going to tell you when to go to bed. And he said, but you don't tell the girls, you know. And so it was a big, frustrating interchange there. And finally I said, well, you know, I really don't care how late you stay up. It's how you act tomorrow that's meaningful. You know, are you going to get up, do your homework, get to school on time? Are you going to be happy? And if you can do that, Kevin, for 7 days, I'll never tell you when to go to bed again. Well, let me tell you, this kid who had never been responsible and always would stay up really, really late, somehow he acted decently for 7 days in a row. He was just a beautiful kid. And you know what? I told him, okay, Kevin, you've earned your right to I'll never tell you to go to bed. And it turned out he loved surfing and he needed to be on the waves at dawn. So he did end up going to bed very, very early most nights. But it's amazing what children can produce in terms of responsibility when you do trust them with that experience.
It seems to me that kids fail to make the connection between their actions and the consequences. Am I on the right track here? Is that something they have to learn?
Well, yes, it's a very important lesson to learn. I call it cause and effect. If they do something, there will be an effect. There will be a consequence. It will be either positive or negative, but that is a very, very important way to learn. Many delinquents who have never had consequences come to them are absolutely shocked that they end up in, you know, juvenile delinquency centers because they never had a consequence before. What happened? You know? And so I think it's very important that there are consequences. But more than just external consequences, we need to help our children, in order to make good moral decisions, to feel the internal consequences. So when they make a choice to hit their brother or to stay up and watch a television show that isn't good, that they feel inside whether it was good or bad. How did they feel when they got hit back? How did they feel when they saw their brother cry? How did they feel when they dreamed about the scary episode that they saw on television? And when they began to feel internally whether the choice they made was good for them, they will be stronger in terms of making future choices.
Are you talking about the conscience here? Is that what you're mentioning? The development of the conscience happening, or the internal consequences?
Yes, that would be another name that we could put onto it. But it is an effect it has on us. You know, if we stay up late, there is the effect of not feeling very good the next morning, you know. How does it make you feel? How did that choice affect you? So it's more than just conscience. It's just being aware of how you felt when certain things happened. And the more we can get in tune, or getting our children in tune with themselves, the better decision makers they will be. Do you really want to do that? How do you think you will feel? if you make that decision? How do you feel you will feel if you experience that consequence? Will that be something that you can live with yourself? And that's the way we can take away the responsibility of making moral decisions from parents and try to put them more and more on the child as the child is growing.
The reason I ask is that young people tend to, and there's always exceptions, but young people tend to live in the present totally. They don't think beyond 60 seconds from now, especially teenagers. And they want to do something, and they're not thinking down the road at all. So your cause and effect is absolutely right, and the internal consequences is square on. But how do you get that across to someone who's not thinking more than 60 seconds from now?
Well, it has to do with the child's decisions that he makes and the training you give him, the information that you talk to him about from a very, very early age to make him aware of future decisions, delayed gratification. So it's a training process. And I do believe that we need to give to our children important information. And I have a list here that's kind of interesting. It's a faith-based value system checklist, and it's things that we need to help our children develop in terms of their learning. For example, are they learning to express thanks to God? Are they talking to God throughout the day? Are they learning to pray aloud when asked? Are they learning to ask God for help when they don't know what to do or are frightened? Are they encouraged to ask Jesus into their hearts? Are they learning to respect God's word? Are they interested in Bible stories and able to tell parts of Bible stories? Are they memorizing simple Bible texts? Are they learning to ask, what would Jesus do? These are all important things, and I could, you know, go on and on, but we need to, as parents, make sure our children are learning these things, because the more they learn, the more they will be able to think toward the future in terms of who they want to become, the kind of person, and so hopefully it won't be just 60 seconds into the future, but more like who I want to be when I grow up.
Yeah, this is vitally important, and I know that there are many parents right now who do this, and it's so important. And that is, you attach consequences to every action, as simple as they may be. You attach not only consequences for today, but consequences for eternity. That's one thing I learned growing up, that my actions today affect my eternal life. Where I go, what I do, what I choose to look at, what I choose to read, what I choose to hear, that these things not only affect me now and 60 seconds from now or tomorrow, but they have an eternal connection. And that's very important. Wouldn't you say, Dr. Kuzma, is that important to teach?
Absolutely. Your openness to Jesus, to Christ, to his sacrifice, rather than I'm going to do it myself, that willfulness, that egotistic, superior kind of behavior, all that learning in terms of having a faith in an incredible Savior takes away that selfishness, and it gives you a thrust for your whole life. Basically, your character, who you will become, or who you are and who you are becoming, is basically a result of the choices that you make.
Boy, and that's where those Bible stories come in, because the characters in the Bible who went through many experiences were thinking way beyond today. They're thinking way beyond next year. They're thinking eternally. And when we teach our kids that there is an eternal life that's waiting for us, and that we have a responsibility in accepting that eternal life and also in living that eternal life.
Right.
That responsibility, every decision they make from that point on has that consequence built in. Very, very important. We don't want to teach our kids to become legalistic. We want them to want that eternal life, to desire that eternal life and that walk with Christ. 800-775-4673 is our phone number for your questions and comments. 800-775-4673. We'll be back with Dr. Kay Kuzma after this break, so don't go away.
Is your life stuck in fast forward? Are you doing more and enjoying less? Do you feel stressed out and tired?
If so, help is here. Speaker, pastor, and author Carl Hafner points the way to relief for the stressed out, worn out, and burned out. With humor and wisdom, Carl Hafner shows in his new book, Soul Matters, that it's possible to live a sane and balanced life in a world gone mad. But there's a catch. You must learn to cheat the lesser gods and clamor for your attention in order to honor the one true God. Find rest for your weary soul. Pick up a copy of Carl Hafner's book, Soul Matters, today. To get a copy, visit www.pacificpress.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
America's veterans have served our country in both war and peace.
It's because of people like you that we are free.
My class was learning about war and how hard it is.
I wanted to do something to let them know how I feel.
Now there is a way to thank them for helping keep America free. Log on to thankyouveterans.org and type a personal message of thanks.
Dear Dad, I've recently come to understand how important your service to America was, and I just wanted to say thank you.
There are 26 million veterans living in America today, from World War II to Afghanistan and Iraq.
We carry our experiences inside. It's nice to have someone say thanks.
Let a veteran know you appreciate their service. Log on to thankyouveterans.org, a public service of Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Welcome back to Simple Solutions. I'm your host, Charles Mills. We're here with Dr. Kay Kuzma. She's an author, a Christian author, child development specialist, an educator, and we're talking about child development here. And Dr. Kuzma, we would be remiss if we did not address the fact, and we talk about it often on this program, that Satan has targeted our brains. He is absolutely locked in on our brains, physical brains, our actual brains, trying to mess them up, because if you mess them up, bad things happen to your relationship with God. Is this something we should be aware of as far as kids are concerned as well?
Oh, absolutely. Our bodies are interactive. They're not just spiritual. They're not just mental. They're not just emotional. They're just not physical. We have an interactive body. And the more the devil can, and I know Dr. Tim talks about this a lot, you know, but the more the devil can cloud our thinking possibilities in our cerebral cortex, our frontal lobe, where our conscience is, where we access Bible texts, the more he can cloud that that conscience that is housed there in the cerebral cortex, the more we'll make bad decisions. And what we don't realize is not just alcohol that makes us make bad decisions or smoking, but it's, you know, how late we stay up at night, whether we get enough sleep or not. It's overeating. It's too much sugar in our diet. Basically, anything that is harmful to our physical bodies also affects our thinking ability in the cerebral cortex. And so it's very, very important for parents to have a good, healthy lifestyle for their children to live.
Yeah.
Now,
what are some of the ways, Dr. Kuzma, that Satan is actually attacking children's brains? What tools does he use?
Well, he uses abusive parents, for example.
We
know that the brain fires differently with children who have been abused, especially in their early years, and it could even be prenatally. But basically, those early years, their brains fire differently if they have been abused. And basically, they fire in such a way that the limbic system reacts, and which is our emotional brain, that reacts almost immediately to a stimulus that comes in without ever having the child access his cerebral cortex to think about, ooh, what will happen if I do this, and should I do it or not? What does my mommy say? What does the Bible, what have I learned from the Bible or the Ten Commandments? What do they say I should do? Well, he never gets that far. It's basically an abused brain, a child who's been battered, who's been verbally as well as physically abused. It just fires differently, and they react out of their emotions instead of responding with their cerebral cortex, with their thinking ability.
Wow. They don't have that reasoning power that Dr. Jennings talks about so much. Even his website, Come and Reason, it's all about it's all about thinking it through. And he gives an illustration between this limbic system and the prefrontal cortex about you're walking along a forest path and you look down and there's this black wiggly thing on the ground. Well, your limbic system goes, you know, snake, run, and your prefrontal cortex, now wait a minute, no, that's just a hose, just a little bit of a hose there, and it's okay. So, in other words, you have the controlling factor of your prefrontal cortex overriding the limbic system, but you're saying that when Satan gets a hold of a child and aims these things at him, that you don't have that reasoning ability, you just have the responsibility, the anxiety, the fear. Is that what you're saying?
That is true, and I think one of the major jobs of parents who have, you know, they have not abused their child, and the kid has had a good experience growing up. There's always going to be rough spots in relationships and school and whatever. You know, they're going to hit bullies along the way, et cetera. But basically, if the child has had a good, wholesome upbringing, then the more you can put into his cerebral cortex in terms of Bible verses, in terms of moral principles, the more he will choose to access those before making a decision. And that's what we want. That's what a healthy child is all about in terms of being spiritually healthy.
So you're actually putting deposits in a bank here. You're putting information there. I listen to you talk, I'm thinking about ways that perhaps my parents did that. And my dad and I, we were avid bird watchers. He'd go bird watching with me. He would teach me about nature, about the songs of the birds. He would walk with me and talk with me and discuss. He would reason with me about things. And that's where I learned to reason. And what he was doing was actually helping me develop that conscience, that prefrontal cortex. He was actually physically making me have a stronger area of the brain. And that's incredible for us to know that, Dr. Kuzma. That's incredible.
Right. But even if your folks do that, if you're staying up late, if you're dabbling lots of sugar and sodas and things like that, your thinking ability is just going to be a little bit more clouded, you know, so it all has to come together. The teaching from the parents, the influence of the parents, as well as the lifestyle of the child. So our spiritual selves are a part of, it's not separate from our physical or emotional being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, and I want to say one more thing, Charles, about this.
Sure, yes.
That is so important, and that is, you talked about rigidity and legalism. Kids who grow up fearing their parents, scared they're going to do something wrong and they're going to get it, if they grow up with fear in their background, they are the ones that become rigid. They are the ones that become legalists. God does not treat us like that. God only disciplines us in love. God basically, love creates love, you know.
Yes.
And if we can realize that our moral decisions, if based on love, will never be legalistic.
That is a very wonderful thought.
You know, God loves us so much. He doesn't want us to be legalistic. He wants us to have a relationship with Him and be in tune so much with Him that day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, His Spirit is able to influence us and help us become the spiritual being He wants us to be.
Boy, I think you said the magic word there, Dr. Kuzma, relationship. A relationship with God is what's important. And I'm assuming, then, that a relationship between a parent and a child is primary. Not so much, are you obeying me, but do I have a relationship with you? Am I on the right track here?
Absolutely. If we can base what we do with our children on love instead of fear, it will be a wonderful model for a relationship with God based upon love. And that's what God wants for us. You know, He calls us His children. We are valuable to Him. He doesn't want us to be robots. He doesn't want us to obey Him because we're going to get zapped or go to hell. He wants us to love Him so we can live with Him forever.
Oh, boy. Well, that is an absolutely beautiful way of wrapping up this program with Dr. K. Kuzma. That relationship with God, that relationship with the parent, the love that is the wraparound for all of it, that is the secret for having your child growing up with a faith in God. Because it begins, folks, with that child growing up having a faith in you. Dr. K. Kuzma, thank you so much for being with us today. You have opened our eyes to many wonderful truths, and I think there are parents right now who are saying with me, thank you for being on the show today.
Well, thank you for asking me.
Right. And her book, The First 7 Years, you can Google that, or you can go to Amazon.com, and you can find places where you can get a hold of that resource. Very, very important. Many wonderful insights there for raising children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's what it's all about for the Christian. I also want to invite you, listener, to stop by Dr. Jennings' website, www.comeandreason.com. There you'll find Dr. Jennings' blog, program archives for listening to these programs going back months and months and months. Good things have been said here. Also, other resources that you can get into your home to help you live a life that is meaningful and hopeful, and hopefully a life that will continue on for eternity. Thank you so much for listening today, and until next week, this is Charles Mills inviting you to apply the simple solutions God placed in your heart today. Goodbye, everyone.
Simple Solutions is a production of Life Talk Radio and Dr. Timothy Jennings, and is made possible by your generous support. For more information, visit www.comeandreason.com.